Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for sticking around this afternoon. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of the need for disaster surveillance and just show how we're trying to meet that need using NC Detect. So there was a World Health Congress for Disaster and Emergency Medicine in Amsterdam in 2007. And they started by trying to define the need for disaster surveillance and disaster health outcome assessments. It seems like almost every presentation I've seen at Finn has started with a definition, so I figured I should too. Essentially, you're trying to determine the health effects of the disaster, and the challenge is both the current and potential. And of course, as you know, disasters have far-reaching implications for all types of health effects. So the role of disaster surveillance within health outcomes is there's a myriad of uses for the surveillance. So you're trying to do the rapid needs assessments, and then you're trying to match the resources with those needs, and then prevent additional problems, and implement control measures, and then evaluate those control measures. And then, of course, evaluate everything after the fact and determine if there are any improvements that can be made in the face of future disasters. So in North Carolina, the North Carolina Division of Public Health formulated a disaster epidemiology work group, and it's headed by Aaron Fleischauer, who is the CDC detailee to North Carolina. We're very lucky to have him in North Carolina. So he has launched this work group, and basically is trying to bring together everyone who's involved in disaster planning and response to talk about how we can make improvements, specifically within the realm of epidemiology. So, I mean, it's anyone you could think of. So it's the first responders, and all the way to epidemiologists in chronic disease and behavioral health who have been involved in this work group. So these are the four primary questions that the work group was formed to try to answer. And I'm speaking specifically from NC Detect, which is a very, small portion of the overall disaster epi needs. And NC Detect, I'll go into more detail in a minute. So what we're trying to figure out is how we can use these existing surveillance systems specifically for disaster surveillance, even if that was not the primary reason why they were launched to begin with. And then, of course, how you do the rapid needs assessments and how you do those efficiently. And then how do you, you can see combining a whole bunch of different information sources onto Google Maps or onto other sources to create a dashboard approach to have really effective situational awareness. And then how, you take that information to those people making those decisions and leading their response efforts. So just to get into more detail about NC Detect, NC Detect, the end-to-end management of NC Detect is at the UNC Department of Emergency Medicine, where I work. We are funded by the North Carolina Division of Public Health, who uses federal funds to support our work. So we have a statewide mandate in North Carolina for emergency departments to send data every 12 hours. So we have all but one hospital participating. And as well, we have eight VA hospitals sending data that are not part of the mandate because they're federal. So we're processing about 12,000 new visits a day, and we also do updates as long as we get that information. So we can be processing a lot more than 12,000 records. We also get the statewide ambulance run data, the statewide poison control center data, and we're also piloting some ambulatory care data and some animal health data, because of course the animal health, especially in the realm of bioterrorism and disease surveillance, can act as sentinels. So we're processing and loading and making all of this information available through a web application, a Java-based web application, and we also send our emergency department data to the BioSend system. So just a brief snapshot of the data that we get, and you'll see if you're familiar with syndromic surveillance systems, we are fortunate in North Carolina that we go beyond just the chief complaint. We're getting up to 11 diagnosis codes and up to 5 injury codes and procedure codes, and we get the disposition, which is very important, especially if you're trying to monitor severity, as we're doing with flu. And then with the EMS data, we're getting a very small subset of that, but we're trying to wait for the timeliness to improve on that data before we can really incorporate it into our timely surveillance needs. And then the poison center data we have found immensely useful. It's for people who've worked with free text data, the poison center data is refreshing. It's all standardized and codified and relatively easy to work with as a result. So we have been using NC Detect for disaster surveillance for a while now. We have some tools within the web application that allow us to drop in reports as soon as we can come up with all the keywords we want to include in those reports. Again, we're relying on the free text data primarily because it's the most timely, so the chief complaints and triage notes. And of course, systems like NC Detect have made surveillance during disasters much easier than they used to be, you know, years ago when hospitals were expected to maintain a log and fax those logs to the health department, and the health department was typing in everything, and then maybe 6 months later they figured out, you know, what the primary problems that occurred during that disaster. So we're, you know, we've reduced that that redundancy and that manual work tremendously. So because of our statewide nature of our data sources, we are able to monitor those rural and underserved populations. And users who are familiar using NC Detect can really dig down and do additional case finding when they know what they're looking for. The challenge primarily is that we have a lot of different reports available, but we're not currently covering all the different disaster types that are possible, and you have to hit reports in several different sections of the NC Detect web application, so you really have to know what you're looking for. So what the goal of our disaster modules was really to try to make a one-stop shop for specific disaster types. So just to kind of give you an example of how NC Detect has been used for disasters, so this was a wildfire that started in, I think, around June 1st of last year in the eastern part of North Carolina. And I was reading online that it was officially declared out, I think, on January 4th of 2009. So it burned for a while. About 60% of the fire was located in a wildlife refuge, which had a lot of peat, so a lot of fuel for the fire, which I think is why it took so long to burn out. But on the flip side of that, you know, the majority of the acreage destroyed was a wildlife refuge, so not that much population was affected as far as home loss, although there were a lot of farmlands in that area. So some screenshots. So this is our custom event report, and you see we add a lot of different things based on user requests. So it's, you know, anything from food recalls to things that you might want to monitor during a disaster. And so what we've decided that we really need to do is take things out that are disaster related and create a disaster module. But in the meantime, whenever a user has a request that they want to monitor something specific, we put it in here. And so just some screenshots. So specifically for this wildfire, you know, we were monitoring things like people coming into the emergency department mentioning the wildfire or a disaster. Some emergency departments will use specific chief complaints to designate that it's disaster related, and others just continue on their normal operations. So you have to try to know those practices and build those into any sort of custom reports that you develop. So the this one here is just looking at smoke by select age groups. So anybody who came in who mentioned smoke. And then here's one that's kind of monitoring cardiovascular disease, and that's by the final diagnosis codes that we get. So there is some latency involved in trying to monitor health effects using those codes. About I think about 80% of our hospitals will get us at least one code within 2 weeks. But to really make sure that you have a full representation of the ICD-9 codes, you really need to wait for about 3 months before you can really say you're getting a comprehensive assessment. So in addition to those custom events, of course, we can use our existing syndromes to try to monitor health effects of disasters. But again, these were primarily designed for bioterrorism, infectious disease monitoring, and they may or may not apply to the specific disaster of interest. So our new approach, as I mentioned earlier, is to try to create these disaster modules where, based on the disaster type, you would have every disease category or syndrome that you would need to try to get a comprehensive picture of what's happening to the population because of this disaster. So for example, this is just a subset of some of the disaster types we've been working on. But you see, for example, a hurricane or severe flood, you would monitor motor vehicle crashes, severe traumas from either using a chainsaw or just being affected during the actual storm. Of course, burns, drownings, and then the exposure types of injuries, the bites and stings. And, you know, the improper use of generators and grills and things of that nature. And then for wildfires, some similar things that you would want to monitor. And then, you know, we're trying to get into the, you know, every so often there's, you know, unexpected chemical emergencies and you want to monitor the effects of those. We had an explosion at a plant, a ConAgra plant, where Slim Jims are made in North Carolina. And so a lot of times these things happen and you don't know exactly what caused the explosion or the fire, so you want to monitor the health effects. It might help indicate what sort of chemicals were involved. So here's you know, some acute illness things that we have been talking about monitoring for the different disasters. And again, some of these are syndromes that we already have, so it's just a matter of grouping them differently in the web application. And then many of them are new, or they're combining existing symptoms with new symptoms to try to get a more precise picture of the effects, as you can see with the column of the chemical emergencies. And again, this is a work in progress. We're not saying that, you know, we have this totally figured out. We're kind of working as we go and working with our historical data to try to tune these and see what might work best. So here's a screenshot of our prototype, and I have to apologize, I don't have more exciting output to show you, but H1N1 definitely diverted resources from developing these modules onto doing some additional functionality specifically for H1N1. But as you can see, you know, the user can select based on their, we have users at the state, regional, and local levels, and so the web application customizes access based on what they're allowed to see. So, you know, based on the user role, they would be able to select their data source and their date range and their location type. And these firsts are these regional response regions. So we have the ability to view all the syndromes that you'd want to see by the disaster types that we've been talking about. But then we also put in there, well, what if I'm just in the injury branch and all I care about is injuries? So we put in this additional radio button where you can say, okay, just show me all the syndromes related to injury. Especially if you're doing a retrospective analysis, this is going to help focus your attention. And then there's, you know, there's the age stratification, and this display rows with signals only just cuts out any data for that time range where the entire syndrome has no higher than expected counts. You just can block those out. So again, this is, so that was just the tabular overview of just aggregated counts. And then of course you can get, if you have the right access, get into the line listing information where you can see all of the demographic and clinical information for the patients. And of course, there's graphing functionality and the ability to download the data to do port it into other systems. And a lot of times, you know, NC Detect is just one source of information when you're trying to develop a situation report. So it's important to be able to get that information out so that if you're responsible for reporting to a command center, that you can put it into your own report. And, you know, you could foresee down the road, you know, all the maps in the previous presentation, you know, ideally, you know, you're really, for a disaster, you have a dashboard where you can take this information and combine it with the flood-prone areas, or for example, in a wildfire, you know, you can get that particulate matter, so you can really fine-tune your response to get as much information into one place as possible. But we're not there yet. Hopefully, we will be soon. So the other issue is when you have shelters set up or field hospitals, when do you break out those paper forms, or when do you break out those handheld computers and collect information, and then how do you get that information into a system like NC Detect to do that additional monitoring? And our thought process now is that, you know, given the limited resources, you know, we'll focus on the acute care settings because that's where the people are going to be that we're most interested in. If somebody at a shelter is sick enough to be a potential public health threat, they would most likely be transported to the emergency department anyway, so we would catch them there. However, you know, there's always the need for that active surveillance and knowing when to implement that. So we're working on that, especially for the field hospitals where, you know, the emergency departments are overrun. And you still need to capture that information and aggregate it and look at trends. So we're working with the Office of EMS to determine how we could possibly incorporate that data into NC Detect for surveillance. So of course, there are several limitations whenever you're using the secondary data that, you know, we're collecting from emergency departments and the poison center primarily, is that you're doing a lot of inferring to determine whether or not this visit is disaster related. I mean, there have been many attempts in North Carolina to add information to the triage portion of the emergency department visit. You know, of course, you'd like to know a bunch of things about why the person came into the emergency department, and ideally, wouldn't it be nice if there were a checkbox that said, yes, this is disaster related, but of course, that does not happen. So, of course, we could be underestimating the true magnitude of the health effects of the disaster if it's difficult to identify that the visit was indeed disaster related. And I didn't talk about this much, but a huge issue during disasters is behavioral health. And how do you capture the health effects, the behavioral health effects of a disaster? I mean, these can, of course, be acute during the disaster, but then can go on for months and years afterwards. And there are groups working on this, and North Carolina has a person in the Division of Mental Health, Joanna Forrester, who specifically works on preparedness for behavioral health. But again, that information is hard to collect from, if you're trying to get it from existing healthcare data, it's often very difficult to capture. Because physicians may not be asking those questions, or they might be hesitant to ask and document those questions, because if somebody is having a behavioral health problem that's disaster related, they might not want to stigmatize that person by diagnosing them with depression or something else that we would pick up in the ICD-9 codes. So as I mentioned before, the timeliness can always be a challenge when you're working and trying to do surveillance in a timely fashion. We get our emergency department data every 12 hours, and sometimes that's not fast enough. The poison center data does come hourly, so that does complement the emergency department data nicely. And the EMS data is statewide, but still trying to get that data coming in more timely to be more effective. So, of course, you know, the final bullet, you know, it ties in nicely with the previous presentation. You know, if there's a disaster of a great magnitude and the electronic systems are abandoned, either because the system is overrun and people are reverting to paper, or because there's just no power, of course that's going to limit our ability to do surveillance. So again, what we're working on next, of course, we have much more work to do on the actual modules. And as I mentioned before, you know, how do you create that dashboard approach so that people are able to make decisions without having to access tons of different systems? And again, you know, are there ways that we can take advantage of what we've learned in developing NC Detect and use that during times when NC Detect can't be used? Are there ways to use cell phones or other methods of collecting information so that we can still do that surveillance that we need to do? So just want to acknowledge everybody that participates in the surveillance work group and my colleagues at NC Detect who've been working on this disaster surveillance. So thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
How much have you worked with paper-based forms if the systems are down and getting that information into the electronic systems? And our experiences have been that the paper forms don't always mirror the data collection of the electronic systems. That's one of the
we've been trying to figure out how to get the data out of our existing electronic system. So we haven't gone too much into the paper, but that's definitely an issue is how you get those two systems talking to each other. So yeah, we'll be facing that challenge. And then there's actually been a lot of revision to the paper form itself. A lot of people say in a disaster, you know, we need to look for infectious disease outbreaks, when the true problems during a disaster are the chronic disease and the medication management. And should the forms be capturing, I can show you like this form here, I know it's hard to see, but you see there's like a whole column for acute illness and just the tiny little box for chronic disease. And does that whole paradigm need to shift and this form be primarily chronic disease and behavioral health in the small box for the acute illness? So that's something we're also talking about. Questions?
Thank you for a really nice presentation. I'm Janie Hamilton from Florida. We obviously have some similar issues related to hurricanes. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what your sort of overall process is now when you have a storm to help make the decisions. I mean, you were talking about redesigning the form to maybe include chronic diseases, but I feel like what we keep coming back to in Florida is that we want to keep our data collection focused on things that we will really be doing and addressing and providing a public health response for. And although there are exacerbations to chronic illnesses and some of these other behavioral issues that happen, that really isn't where public health is responding. And so maybe you could expand on that thought a little bit.
Okay. And I have to put a disclaimer out there that I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm more of the information science background. But that's, again, it's an ongoing discussion about what are you really trying to survey for? What do you really need to do to inform the public health response? And I guess my answer to that would be if you there's one key, and that's knowing your underlying population, like knowing the baseline population, you know, hopefully down to the county level, like which counties have the highest incidence of diabetes or stroke. And so if the disaster affects that area and you know where the typical centers are for dialysis and other things, and you know these people are going to be coming into the emergency department, that's a communication and coordination response message that you can be working on with your hospitals. But, you know, fortunately, we've been threatened with a few storms the past couple years, but we haven't really had a big one in a while. And so I think it's going to be a big test to figure out what works and what doesn't. From my perspective, from the IT side, you know, whenever an EPI requests a new report, we just try to get it in there as quickly as possible, and then we'll let them do that evaluation and figure out, you know, what's been helpful and what hasn't been. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.